to be fully fledged members of Lighthouse Church with all the rights and responsibilities thereof, for primarily two reasons. One is for the sake of shepherding the church well, and the other is for the spiritual health of the saints in our church. Let me explain. In order to shepherd the church well, Bob and I need to know who to invest our limited time into. Okay? We're not God. Despite what my kids might think. We're not. The word pastor actually literally means shepherd. In Ephesians 4:11, it says that Christ gave some to be apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, which literally means shepherds, and teachers. All right? And believe it or not, he did not do that so that these specialists, these professionals, could do all the work of running the operations and activities of the church. Rather, Christ himself, the head, okay, he's the big cheese of the church, the buck stops with Jesus. Christ himself has given pastors a job description. And this includes to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. That's our job, is to equip the saint, which is referring to the Christians in the church. So in order for Bob and I to know who to focus our equipping efforts on, we need to know who's really with us. Otherwise, we will certainly get burnt out trying to minister to people who are genuinely committed to this church and its mission. Of course, we love and care for everyone. There is no doubt about that. But members are priority people in our lives. And we need to know who they are. Now, membership also helps Christians. The Bible calls them saints. So you're a saint if you're a Christian. How about that? You know, you don't have to die or get some sort of ordination thing. The Bible says you're a saint. Okay, it also helps the saint in the church. Okay? How? For one, church membership helps you to confirm and clarify your salvation. Yeah. Okay? You see, it is possible. In fact, it's practically inevitable that a church like ours would have people involved in it that are not actually a part of the church of Jesus Christ. In other words, they're not a saint. They're not a part of Christ's body. In Paul's letter to the church in Corinth, Corinth is a city, there's a church there, he wrote a letter to him, 1 Corinthians. In that letter, he said, I wrote to you not to associate with any so-called brother if he is an immoral person. Well, how would you know if somebody is an actual brother or sister, or if they're so-called? How would you know? Any good membership class will include an opportunity, whether in a commitment card, you know, like what you guys have, or, you know, whether on something like this, or with a personal meeting with a pastor, or some means to declare where your faith and hope is. Biblically, a person becomes a saint, a brother or sister in Christ. They become one after placing their faith and trust in Jesus Christ and his death on the cross to pay for their sins. Now, we'll be talking more about that whole idea later. But just know that membership helps you to clarify your salvation. Being a member also helps you, the saint, to clarify your convictions, both your theological convictions about God and faith and stuff, and also your relational committed community of believers is critical to clarifying where your convictions lie. Simply put, it is good for your soul to say, I belong to Lifehouse Church. Or whatever church. But since you're at Lifehouse, it's Lifehouse. It's good for your soul. So that's the two reasons. There you go. There's the two reasons why we have church membership at Lifehouse Church. Now, in case you've forgotten, if you filled this card out in the past or not, here is the member roll from last year when we did this. Okay, so this is our second annual. So there it is. Now, you might think, well, I thought for sure I filled that out. You probably just missed that Sunday, because there was one Sunday where we had people fill it out. So don't worry about it. Today is your day. If you're not up there and think you should be, if you're not, fill out the card and you're good. But there you go. Now also, if you see your name up there, that does not mean that the rest of this message is nap time. Just because you signed the card doesn't mean that all is well with your soul. Listen carefully to what I've got to share, because you need to be reminded at times what you signed up for. And you may need to make some necessary adjustments in your life. And for those who are not members, this is your opportunity. And we will invite you to be a part of Lifehouse Church. So that's pretty exciting. So, here we are. Anyone who wants to be a member of Lifehouse Church needs to fully agree with and practice these three essential things. They're like three distinctives of our church. Number one, I am a member of Christ's body before I am a member of Lifehouse Church. This is a non-negotiable. It's a must-have element of our church. When Paul said in 1 Corinthians 12:27 that you are individually members of Christ's body, what did he mean? What was he talking about? Well, we can tell from the context. You just go back to the beginning of the chapter where Paul writes, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols, however you were led." What's he saying here? Well, he's making a clear distinction between being a brother in verse 1 and a pagan in verse 2. You're either one or the other. And during the first century, the distinction between the two was pretty clear. Look at verse 3. "Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever says, Jesus is accursed. And no one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit." So clearly, Jesus is the determining factor as to one's standing before God. A person's understanding of and attitude toward Jesus is the litmus test as to whether you are good with God or not. So, if you are fine with just letting it fly, Jesus is a curse, the modern day equivalent would be God, you know what. Or to use Jesus' name as a curse word, if that's just fine, if that just kind of flies out of your mouth from time to time, then you're not speaking in spirit. But if your thought of saying Jesus is Lord, the modern day equivalent being Jesus is Lord, then, yeah, you are speaking by the Holy Spirit. So say that, and even though that is increasingly becoming the case in America, it's still fairly safe to say that. There's in fact a lot of circles in America where that's the thing to say, Jesus is Lord. And so, because of that, many, some people even say most, American Christians are Christians by culture, not by conviction. Many so-called brothers are Christians because I grew up that way. I know, I grew up that way. Now, our upbringing, hopefully, was precious to us, and we gained much from it. But when you hold on to our cultural Christianity more than Christ, then you are putting your faith in your ancestral faith and not in Jesus Christ. Now the Apostle Peter, he referred to this danger when he wrote this: "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors," that would have been Judaism back then, "but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Now listen, my mother is in the room. You know, do I value and appreciate the way that she brought me up? Do I value and appreciate the church that I grew up in? You bet I do. Do I still put faith in the religion of my youth? Not one bit. Not if at any point it takes me away from the central place of Christ in my life. Paul considered his religious upbringing and training to be garbage compared to Jesus. Now, look at this in Philippians 3. He says, "Indeed, I count everything as loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. For his sake, I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish," or garbage. Here, that literally means manure, "in order that I may gain Christ." Wow. Does that line up with your way of thinking? The person and work of Jesus Christ is what this church is all about. And if you want to be a member of this church, then you must be a member of Christ's church, his body, first. According to Christ, according to the Bible, not according to your church tradition. Now, to help you to do that, Bob and myself and many others here know what is called the outreach diagram. It lays out this gospel message and will show you the door. It'll show you the door. You've got to choose to take the door, go through the door yourself. It'll show you the door to making the Spirit of Christ central to your life. Thus, saying Jesus is Lord with conviction. All right. Now, if you want one of us to do that, you can grab a handy-dandy membership card, and on the back, where it says Lighthouse Church Membership Agreement, it says Requirements of Membership. Just circle that top one and write, "Help!" And we will help you. We will get a hold of you, so you have to fill out that other side, and we will set up a time to show you this thing called the Outreach Diagram, and it will fill in the blanks in your life with regards to Jesus and how to make him number one, your genuine Lord, how to become a saint. We will help with that. Okay. But as they say, talk is anyone can say what they think the other person wants to hear. So it takes courage, really personal conviction, to actually act on it. One thing that first century Christians did to test and confirm whether a person's confession of faith in Christ was legitimate or not was to baptize them by full immersion in front of other people, clearly declaring their acceptance of Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. So that's the second distinctive of our church, to be able to say, I have obeyed the Lord and the scriptures by being baptized, knowing full well what I was doing and why I was doing it. It's oftentimes called believer's baptism. While I was in Nepal, I was impressed with how quickly these Buddhists and Hindus who have heard the gospel for the first time and they believe in Jesus, that instantly they want to get baptized. I was amazed that they would be so willing to act on their faith so quickly. And I think, well, Americans don't even do that. You know, we have to give them some time, let it sink in or something. But then I got to thinking, well, you know, Americans, we have the same kinds of obstacles to acting on our faith that they did. You know, by acting on their faith, their family is not going to like it. Some of them are going to get ostracized by their family. It was a dangerous thing to get baptized. You know, I don't think it's all that much different than America. In our culture, baptism is a ritual done on babies. Now, paid with good intentions, our parents baptized us as infants, thinking that they were obeying God, doing the right thing. And later on, you may have been told over and over again that you are a Christian now because you were baptized back then. That idea is in direct contradiction to the only legitimate, objective source of information we have on what God thinks. That would be the Bible. That's what we got. And so a key text that a lot of people who are just convinced that infant baptism is the way to go is in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 21. In the first line, they have this. Baptism, which corresponds to this stuff that they were talking about earlier, now saves you. Well, seems fairly clear to me. Bible says, baptism now saves you. In fact, I was reading material from a church that practices infant baptism, and that's what they had in there. That was their proof text. But there's more to the verse than that. It goes on and it says, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a good conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So Peter here is trying to be careful to define his terms so that there would be no misunderstanding. He says, I'm not referring to water baptism, the removal of dirt from the body. That's what he's saying. I'm not talking about water baptism, but rather being baptized into a faith in Jesus Christ. The word baptism actually means to be placed into, to be immersed into something. And here he's saying, I'm talking about being immersed into a faith in Jesus Christ, the resurrection of Jesus Christ specifically. So this verse actually kind of assumes that baptism is a full immersion experience, not this sprinkling of water on some catatonic baby. So we're going to assume. Now, where do you get some clear teaching on this? It's Acts chapter 8. Acts 8 gives us the best picture of what the Bible means when it commands Christians to be baptized. Take a look at this. Then Philip opened his mouth and began with this scripture. He told him the good news about Jesus. Okay, so he's talking to a guy. Told him about Jesus. the Son of God. That's the condition to being baptized. Not only in a formal sense, but also in a very personal sense. If you claim to believe in Jesus and yet refuse to get baptized, there's something wrong with you. There's something not right going on in your head either. You either don't believe in Jesus, and you've got to deal with that issue, or you don't believe what the Bible teaches about baptism. Either way, I know that for Bob and I, it would make life a whole lot easier if we would just go along with the masses and baptize babies along with everybody else. But you need to have courage. You need to have conviction. And to be a member of Lifehouse Church, you need to have courage and conviction to obey the Lord in full immersion baptism with a solemn confession of faith in Jesus Christ. Now, let me state with equal clarity that you do not need to be baptized in this church in order to be a member. Some churches do that, we do not. No, I mean, if you were to lie about something like being baptized, you have a bigger problem than the baptism of the Lord. No, just having been baptized at some time in your life as a professing believer in Jesus Christ is enough for us, and I believe for God also. All right, now, as we all know, the longest journey begins with the first step. Oh, one last thing. Baptism, you haven't done it? The second point, if you would like to get baptized, you believe in Jesus for real, this is not a joke, you will confidently say Jesus is Lord. You just circle that second dot about this I am committed to success, and just write down, baptize me. Just write that right on there. Or, well, of course, when you write that down, we'll talk to you if you have any questions. You know, it's like, I'm still not clear on this. Why do so many churches believe this stuff? Okay, baptize me. And we will take care of that. Okay. Longest journey gives the first step. Baptism is ideally that first step of obedience to Christ that every true believer takes in their life. The following steps are covered under this umbrella called fellowship. Okay? So that would be the third distinctive of Lifehouse Church. Fellowship. And it could be defined as this: living life together with Christ in the center. Alright? You see this again in the lives of the first century believers. I'm not making this stuff up. Look at this. In Acts chapter 2, here we go. Those who accepted his message were, look at that, they were baptized. Imagine that. They accepted the message of the gospel, and then they were baptized. And then, okay, for the list, about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Then they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayer. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Here's the deal. Jesus isn't just for Sundays. You know? He's not. Believing in Jesus for real changes everything. A legitimate, genuine faith is a 24/7 experience. It's not like these people in the first century were doing absolutely nothing with their lives. Sure, something that happens when I do something in my life. No, they were busy people. But then they accepted the message of Christ. And when that happened, when Jesus came into their lives, it changed their world. They now hungered to know God and His will for their lives through the apostles' teaching. That's how they got a glimpse of what that would mean. And we now have the apostles' teaching in this book called the Bible. That's where you'll find the apostles' teaching. It's in the Bible. We now have it. And so the Bible is a big deal. draws us together, and it makes us one. The Bible commands Christians to love one another, right? We all know this. The Bible commands us over and over to love one another. But in Lifehouse Church, we actually like to like each other. That's what we prefer that, you know, but we actually like each other. And so, let's see if we can do that. And it's not to be fellowship. Then we got breaking of bread, which is communion. We do that every other Sunday here. And for anyone who is a genuine believer in Jesus Christ, that's your opportunity to kind of like act on that faith in a worship sense and take the bread and the cup. And then he also talks about prayer, which, you know, is praying. That's what it is. And so we believe in these things, like communion and prayer. And as a church, you know, we really like to pray. It's something that we do every Sunday. Before church, we pray. We have a big prayer meeting. Twice a year, we have this big prayer meeting where we pray for a couple hours. We think prayer is a pretty big deal. And we really like to do that. It's talking to God. It's communicating with God. And I think God communicates with us, too, while we're praying. And so, if you're a member of Lifehouse Church, you want to be first in line to pray with us. And lastly, it says that daily, those who are being saved are being added to the number. So evangelism isn't just for the evangelist. It's for everyone. Everyone should be on this one. Whether it's in serving the community with our, why don't you show us a picture of it? With our fair booth. We have a fair booth. We also pick up the garbage at the fairgrounds for them. Or passing out gospel tracts during our Nordic Fest parade float. There it is. And so we do a lot of amazing things, fun things to have a positive impact on Northeast Iowa for Christ. So what am I saying with all this? I'm saying, join us. Make your life count for eternity. Grow up. Grow a family. Grow old with us. You don't have to go to the movies and watch other people live the life. Live out the adventure. Man, have all the stuff that you wish you could do it. No, you can be a part of it right here. Living the adventure of knowing, obeying, and following Christ until He comes again. That's what membership with Lifehouse Church is all about. So, come on in. Go ahead and start filling out that card. We'll get a hold of you. We can answer any personal questions you might be wrestling with. You might be thinking, oh, this is a little over the top. Give us a chance. We'd love to have a heart-to-heart with you and talk to you any questions you might have. Go ahead and write that stuff down and we're going to pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for what you got started. When you died and rose from the grave, you started something. You started something that hasn't stopped with the first century Christians, the apostles, and the founding fathers of our faith, and on through the ages, and now here it is, the 21st century, and your thing is still going. Lord, I want to thank you that you not only got this thing going, this thing called the church that's rescuing the world from itself, but you have actually called me and many of us in this room, you have called us to join you in it. And it's the best thing that's ever happened in my life. Thank you, Lord, that when I heard your voice, I did not harden my heart. I don't do this. I pray you lead each and every person here. We have our own lives. We stand or fall before our own Maker. We are accountable to our own decisions. Lord, I pray you lead each person here. Help them to decide what the right thing to do is between them and God. Lead each person here, Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen. You know, I did want to mention that. Hey, come on. This message, it may have been a little much maybe for some of you guys, but as much as we take these things seriously and want to really take them seriously, honestly, we're at different places in the walk. So don't freak out if this seems a little over the top. This is a safe place to dialogue on these things. We're not afraid. And if, you